Hi.
Hi. So I've just put us into lecture mode. This is Chris Atwood and
Janet Atwood calling from Tiruvannamalai, India, looking out over Arunachala Mountain, and I wish all of you were here. It's 6:30. What time is it, Chris? It's 6:30 in the morning for me, and I know for most of you it's not. And good morning.
Yeah. So I am the features editor for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. Janet is the cover editor, and we're really happy to have you here tonight. We would love to have you introduce yourselves. We have about 5 or 6 minutes before we're going to begin the call. However, there was a lot of static on the line, and that is probably caused by someone who is calling in on a cell phone. So if you're on a cell phone, if you would press *6 right now, we're going to open up the line and see if possibly we can get that static to go. Hold on just a second.
Static just came back.
Well, that's too bad. Janet, do you want to just share with people a little bit about what you've been doing for the last month?
Oh, absolutely. So I've been really, actually, you know what, I am a product of my own product. And as most of you know, I wrote a book called The Passion Test, Discovering Your Personal Secrets to a Life on Fire. And when I took the passion test myself, one of my passions was that I would be able to travel the world interviewing very highly enlightened people. And that was my passion because I just enjoy hanging out with just wonderful, wonderful people like many of you. Anyway, I kept putting my attention on that as I tell everyone to do when they find what their passions are. And the next thing I know, I have a ticket to India and Nepal and to interview enlightened people, saints, gurus, and just very, very high people all over India and Nepal, asking them what they feel about the present world situation, what would they do about that. This is now my book. We'll put the articles in a magazine series in Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, and hopefully a pilot will come out of that. My experience has been out of the box. I was having dinner with someone last night, Chris, and they said, you know, has this met your expectations? And I said, well, you know, it was interesting. I had no expectations about what was going to happen. I didn't have time to really expect too much because my life goes so quickly with everything that we do. So I just realized I just found myself in India, set up these interviews, and what I could say, though, to her was that it was the biggest gift from God that I've ever experienced, because as I went all through India and Nepal, it was as if everywhere I went, God was speaking to me through all these individuals, and it was a very personal experience for me, and hearing what they all had to say, and, you know, what their beliefs and what their ideas were about living a life of the highest level of integrity and truth. And it was just so inspiring. I can't wait to share, you know, all of these interviews with everyone. I think, Chris, everyone will really, truly enjoy what these individuals have to say. It's a very different bent. And, you know, basically it all comes down to finding whatever it is, and if that's, you know, God, Jesus, Mother Mary, Mother Earth, whatever that you feel is that which you can put your attention on and just truly, they say the same word, pray to.
And Janet, can I introduce
whatever
you? Interrupt for just a
yeah.
second. For those of you that are just joining us right now, I just want to let you know that This is Janet Atwood, who's speaking right now from India. We're going to be starting our Passions of Rising Legends call tonight in just 1 minute. But because there's a lot of static on the line, I asked Janet if she would just share an experience or two from India. Now, Janet, we only have about a minute, but could you just share with everyone what's been, in your mind, the most interesting or out-of-the-box or fascinating experience? Is there some little anecdote that you could share with everyone?
You know, Chris, there wasn't. There's not one little fascinating experience. There was every fascinating experience. And as I was going to just say, the one thing that was the theme is that the world is my family. And that for each one of us to really see that separation only exists within ourselves. And that when we create separation inside ourselves, thinking that, you know, we're better than them, or we know more than those people, or, you know, whatever it is that we do to create separation, it's only taking away the love from our own hearts. And this has really been the theme as I've traveled with each one of these wonderful people that I've been with. Very simple, very precise, and that the way that you live your life, what you put your attention on, is what you experience, is how your life is reflected. So, you know, what do you eat? You know, is your food pure? How do you live? What do you put into your consciousness? You know, is it MTV or is it pure knowledge? And whatever it is, you know, who do you hang out with? Are they people of really high level of consciousness? You know, look and see, because the world is as you are.
Well, and Janet, tonight we have the opportunity
to hang out
with someone,
Chris,
really far out, right?
Oh, I am like so very, very honored.
Yeah.
The word is honored, again, to get to spend time with this one. Because Bill Bauman is, let's talk about out of the box for a minute.
Now, before you do, Jenny,
before
I let you introduce Bill, can I have just a minute to welcome everyone?
Absolutely, please.
Thank you. So, good evening, everyone. This is the Passions of Rising Legends series with our host tonight, who I'll be introducing in just one moment. My name is Chris Atwood. I'm the features editor for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, the sponsor of this incredible series. And I want to give a special welcome to our elite members. Those of you who are elite members, of course, you know that you'll be able to get a recording of this call within the next day or two. And within the next week to 10 days, you'll also be able to download the transcript of this call, the word-for-word transcript, from the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise members area. Also, Bill has made available to all of our listeners tonight a very special gift, an excerpt from his forthcoming book, and you should have received an email that would have given you a link to go ahead and download that. Now, those of you who are not yet elite members, I want to encourage you to take the opportunity to not only be able to listen to these calls, but be able to listen to them again and again, to be able to get the recordings, the transcripts, to get the special gifts from each of our guests, as well as access to over 70 ebooks from the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Library. And over the next year, you're going to have direct access to interviews with people like Jay Abraham, Richard Paul Evans, the first number one New York best-selling author, who became a number one best-selling author with a self-published book, Rabbi Yehuda Berg, who we just interviewed a couple weeks ago. On December 7th, we'll be interviewing Dr. John Gray, the author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. In January, Neil Donald Walsh from Conversations with God. In February, Dr. Qigong Shaw, one of the greatest healers in the world today, and on and on and on. So to become an elite member is just $14.95 a month, or for a one-year subscription, it's $97. What you can do is just go to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. That's Healthy, Wealthy, the letter N, wise.com, and click on step number 4. Now, one thing that I was asked to mention tonight is for the holidays, Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise has made available the opportunity to order gift certificates. If you would like to give the gift of passion in this holiday season, then you can order a gift certificate, and a beautiful certificate will be mailed to the person that you specify at the address that you give. And to be able to get gift certificates, go to, again, www.healthywealthy.com/gift, G-I-F-T, dot A as in Apple, S as in Sam, P as in Paul. And I'll mention that again before we close tonight. Now, what I would like to do now is, without further ado, introduce the wonderful host of our show, of this Passion series. Janet Atwood is the author of The Passion Test, Discovering Your Personal Secrets to Living a Life on Fire, the inspiration for these calls. And she is also the cover editor for Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. Janet is joining us tonight from Tiruvannamalai in India. Janet, can I invite you to introduce our special guest tonight?
Absolutely. And just one thing that I want everyone to know. In India, it's very common, not uncommon, how do I not put my attention on this? So let's just say if in the middle you hear me not talking and before there was me, I will come back, and that just means that there is a blip in the phone, because that does happen in India. And just to prepare everyone that we hope Bill will continue talking as Chris reconnects me. If that does happen, we've been very, very blessed that it only happened one time, but just in case, we want you to know what's going on. So I am so very excited. Bill, are you on the line?
You bet I am, Janet. Hi.
Oh, Bill, I love you so much. I am like so excited about today and sharing you with all of our wonderful, wonderful listeners.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. So I just want everyone to know, on a personal basis, if any of you have ever been to a love-in, that's what it's like being around Bill Bauman. And, you know, for many, many years, I have attended his workshops and seminars. Most recently, I spent 2 glorious weeks with Bill and his lovely wife, Donna, and 30 other people who became my fast, close friends. As everyone does who hangs out with Bill, because his love is so contagious, exploring France's sacred spaces, which was an incredible, incredible adventure that Bill and his wife Donna put on this year, and do many, many wonderful, wonderful exploration experiences during the year. So you can go to his website to find out more about his wonderful, wonderful tours that he puts on personally, and it's just like walking and being and living with a master for a couple of weeks. Bill, truly, I had such a profound and unique experience. I can't quit talking about the inner experience. You know, going to see all these sacred spaces was one thing, but I felt that when I left, I felt as if my inner self became much, much more sacred. And so I really want to thank you, because that's always how I feel being around you.
Thank you,
Jim. I'm so happy to share with everyone, too, that I know, as everyone does being with Bill, that his mission on Earth is to truly help humanity as a whole and individuals find their soul and connect to their inner truth and discover their unique nature and purpose, and help them all live a life that truly expresses their fullest destiny. And this is what I can say Bill has helped me with. Educationally, I was like going over his bio this morning and I was laughing, because, you know, there's nothing Bill hasn't done. And Bill, if it's okay, I'm going to, be brief with that, but I'll give everyone a taste. Bill holds a degree in classical. Is that okay, Bill?
Oh, whatever you want, Janet. You know I can't talk to you.
Okay, very good. He holds degrees in classical languages, philosophy, theology, counseling, and a PhD in psychology. He spent 4 years studying theology at the University of Louvain in Belgium, then served as a Catholic priest in Florida in the 60s. In the 80s, he served as a licensed minister of the Church of Religious Science in Utah, and he studied and practiced and taught many of the world religions, Eastern and Native, as well as Western. He's received his doctorate in counseling psychology at Arizona State University. He spent 15 years as a private practitioner and psychological consultant. He's been licensed as a psychologist in 4 states. He's been honored as a diplomat in professional psychotherapy. He's founded and directed 3 private businesses. He's developed and maintained a nationally oriented personal empowerment seminar program, which I told you I've attended for many, many years, in addition to maintaining his private practice as a psychologist. You know, the one thing that I always tell people about Bill is it's clear, it's truly, truly clear when you hang out with him that everything that Bill shares when you're around him, his religion, psychology, his business thoughts, his spirituality, his philosophy, and his humanness, he first learned and perfected those systems within himself. And, you know, my fun thing to say to my friends when we're talking about Bill is when I get enlightened, I want to be just like Bill. And that truly, Bill, is the truth. Because, you know, from being with you, you're always a surprise because you're just like an ordinary guy walking down the street, you know, and then all of a sudden you open your mouth and or you just actually it's not even what you say, it's your presence. You know, being with you, I just always feel so deeply uplifted. And it's just an honor to share you with everyone today again. So without going on further, because I could gush and gush about you, I'd like to start with a question that I have. You know, Bill, people from around the world come to you, I see it all the time, for spiritual guidance and inspiration. And would you share with us what role your passions played in bringing you to where you are today, and what are those passions?
Sure, I'd be delighted to, Janet. First of all, though, let me say a couple of things. The first thing I want to say is that with that wonderful introduction, I probably don't need to say a thing for the rest of the time because you...
Yeah, we'll just sit and feel you.
that works for me.
There we go.
The second, just before I jump into the question, though, I really want to just personally and verbally and at every level connect with everybody who's a part of this phone call, just to connect with and be intimately one with... every one of you who are technically on the listening end, but aside from the technical part, I want to invite all of us to not be on a listening end or a talking end, but to be just intimately one together. And I'm saying that because just I guess one of my deep passions in life, getting back to and segueing into your question about passions, is unity and just the oneness of every one of us on this planet. So just with that done, I'll get back to your question. I had the most unique experience I'd like to share with everybody, and that is that, I don't know when it was, maybe a month and a half ago, Janet gave me her passion test, and Janet has authored this test on, it's just a questionnaire really on finding out what your passions are, and I had never done anything like that before, and I found it most fascinating. And at the end of it, we came up with what were my 5 top or biggest passions in life. And if I'm not mistaken, Janet, one thing that you and Chris feel very strongly about is that what our passions are, that is what drives us, what motivates us, what moves us from inside, is what gets expressed out there. And so it was wonderful just looking at those 5 top passions of my life. It really did give a snapshot and a very accurate one of who I am. And so the top passion I'd like to share with everybody, just of myself, is the passion to live in a deep and powerful state of inner peace. And I noticed in my life, just from early on, and you're right, I've walked through tons and tons of the passageways of life and just all the different rooms in the house of life. But in every one of them, there's been this one driving force, and that is to find a place of deep, deep, deep centeredness, deep inner peace, deep tranquility, balance. In other words, to find that central place in myself where all the dualities come into unity, where all the storm seems wander around that place of centeredness and peace in the middle, that place where I just am, where you just are, where life just is. And so that's a lot of what motivates and drives me. And then just to move from there, that's what I find myself driven to in what I'll just call my mission in life. And that is to help every person that is moved to spend time with me find that same place in herself or himself, that place of just inner depth, that place where one's soul, one's heart, one's truth lives, that place where we can go and with absolute certainty and certitude find who we are and find the meaning of life and find the purpose of self and find the direction that we are in a way that's just deeply, deeply internally grounded in that deepest wisdom, that deepest truth of who we are. So that's a roundabout way of answering your question and only giving you, in fact, one response to the question. But to say it briefly, one of my key passions is the pursuit of, and now that I'm there, the living in the middle of that place internally of inner peace and the inviting of other people to find that within themselves. And if I could just add another paragraph to that, one of the things I've discovered in my walk through life, and we all discover different things, and each of us has our own unique wisdom, but one of the things I've discovered is that everybody's truth is different, and the pathway to finding inner peace or to finding one's soul or one's truth is very, very different for each person. And so what I've done through the years, at first I did it through religion, then I did it through psychology and psychotherapy, then I did it through spirituality, then I did it in other ways. What I've discovered is that it was up to me not to invite people to do it my way, but to have me, to use an old native term, walk enough miles in their shoes. That is have me enter into their depths, to have me learn how to connect with their truth, their soul, have me even learn how to listen to the depths of their wisdom so that as a mirror back to them of what their soul is saying, I can invite them to find themselves in ways that are, if you will, according to their own paradigm, just according to their own unique internal trademarked style. And so that's really a lot of what I'm about in life.
And Bill, listening to you, it really sounds like your passions led you directly to what you are and what you do in your life. And one of the things that Janet talks about in the passion test is this idea that the things that one loves most deeply, the things that are most important to one, those things that one is truly passionate about are keys or clues to one's own personal mission. And listening to you, it certainly sounds like that's borne out in your life. Could you just share just a little bit about the process of discovery that you went through? You've done so many different things. How did you get to the place of discovering most deeply who you are and what your own personal mission is in life?
Well, I'd be delighted to, Chris. I'm laughing because my process has been a bit circuitous. If we'd go back to my childhood and adolescence, I would say that I really wasn't coming from a place of passion at all. I was probably coming from a place of emotional survival. Mm. And so I did life a lot through the Braille method, not just in my childhood and adolescence, but just in other words, just by feeling my way along. And I noticed what I did all the time was I just took what was on my plate, what was right in front of me, and kept inviting myself to listen inside to what is the truth of this moment. And for years and decades, that was not easy for me because, again, I went through a lot of lost periods. And even when I sort of found temporary truth in different systems, you know, the system of religion or the system of psychology or the system of spirituality or whatever the system may have been, I became fairly quickly aware that, gee, you know, this is just one version of a truth. So, and then just to add another thing, I tried to find teachers, I tried to find, you know, helpers, I tried to find wise sages, gurus to help me out in that. And every time I put forth that big effort, the whole effort fell flat on its face. So I feel like all along there's been this big, huge force that, for me, I call a divine force, that just has been guiding me along, forcing me to look inside all the time, no matter what's going on. I found almost every time I put my faith in something outside, either it turned to sand pretty quickly, or my efforts just fell apart, or anyway, it didn't work. So, point number one, I guess I want to make in response to your question is I just, for me, I had to keep looking inside, because, and this was, you know, at the time, over many, many years, I felt really disappointed. Like, how come everybody else gets to have a teacher and I don't? You know, the old feeling sorry for myself routine, which was wonderful in that I like to feel sorry for myself. But beyond that, it wasn't very helpful. So I was blessed by always having to look inside and ask myself at some level, what is the truth? And now, with that being a given, I think it was significant that I walked through and had to walk through all these different systems, because I found in it everybody else's version of truth. But in each one of those systems, I had to search way deep in myself. So I had to keep going deeper and deeper and deeper. I had to keep expanding my depths. I had to go into the another deeper version of truth. From a healing point of view, I had to sort of pull out the weeds from my inner garden and make sure I was finding exactly what it was in me that was the purest truth of that moment, the purest wisdom, the purest inner guidance. And then, as I many times gulped and took a hesitant step forward, to go with that truth and to risk, for example, that people wouldn't like me, to risk criticism, to risk falling on my face, etc. But in the end, as well as many times through it, I really found, wow, you know what? There really is only one place that I can really, really find what's true for me, and that's in that inner vault, that inner sanctum, that inner sanctuary or temple of the self that we tend to call the soul. And so that's why I'm just so committed to helping people find that truth at the depth of their soul, because my sense is that while many people are quite happy all sort of just following the rules of whatever system they happen to be in, and that's really fine too. I have no problem with that at all. But that most of the people who have found me or whom I've found are those whose souls, whose inner sage really calls them to something bigger, something deeper, something much more personal. And so I feel like I'm on earth for those people especially, the people for whom their inner sanctum keeps saying, yoo-hoo, come here, live in me, live in the middle, in the center, in the midst of who you really are, in the truth of you. And I'm really excited about hanging out there, because to me, wow, that's where we can find the truth of the self. And hanging out in the middle or in the soul of the earth or of nature, that's where we can find out what the earth is all about. Hanging out in the middle or in the center of what we call God or the divine, that's where we can find out where that is, in a way that doesn't necessarily have a lot of old definitional quality. In other words, we can't put it into words, but we can feel it, we can sense it, we can know it, we can have that internal intuitive awareness that to me is very, very powerfully trustable. And again, I don't know if I've at all answered your question, Chris, but I've certainly had a good
That's
time sharing
though.
A little bit of my path.
Absolutely. Janet,
no, it's so
are you
beautiful,
still there?
You know.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm so deeply listening, and it's interesting you said, Bill, how that you used to, you know, I can see you stamping your foot and going, how come everyone else gets to have a teacher? And I just want to share with you, but Chris asked me, I don't know if you're on the line, what some of the recurring themes were of interviewing all these of these people that I'm interviewing in India. Mm. And the theme is to just go inside, be with
mm-hmm.
yourself,
mm-hmm.
and ask
yeah.
yourself, who am I?
Yeah.
You know, so you got to jump over. You didn't have to go all over the place asking anyone to tell you that. You know, what I hear
mm-hmm.
is that you came to that and then did your own inner homework, which is something that I think eventually we all get to, have to do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
With lovely, lovely guides like yourself, thank
mm-hmm.
you so much.
Oh.
You know, as you know, we believe that the things one loves the most, which are most important in one's life, are the clues or keys to one's personal destiny. And you said that we are all created with a beautiful divine nature and a unique purpose, and we all have access to this divine plan and purpose by connecting with our soul. And we have within ourselves every resource we need for personal fulfillment. You know, I was wondering, what do you mean when you say, you know, can you explain this to everyone? We have within ourselves every resource we need for personal fulfillment. Can you, you touched on that, but can you expound on that a little more?
Yeah, I'd be delighted to, Janet. Thank you. And I think what I'd like to do, if it feels all right to you and Chris, is just to invite everybody who's a part of this this conversation or this sort of sacred ceremony, if you will, that we're having right here, to just kind of hang out with those words as you, those who are doing the listening here, as you hear them resonating within you. And I'll repeat the words, at least roughly from what I remember you saying, that because I think you got that off of my website, so I seem to remember writing it.
We cheated.
That's wonderful. That we have, each of us has within himself, herself, every resource that we need for our personal joy, our personal fulfillment, our personal everything. And so if you just sort of listen to those words resonating, that everything in you is there that you need for anything. And, of course, we know that. Psychology has taught us that forever. That in psychology, they always say every answer to every problem is within. And, of course, in spirituality, the same thing, that all we need to do is go to the center of our being, and there we find every resource, every answer. I don't mean those words glibly at all, because those words have really come from my own search and from just the privilege I've had of hanging out with, I'm guessing, thousands of people over the years in the role of being the facilitator and the helper of them walking within the depths of themselves and finding that. So let me just suggest to everybody here that we just put our focus for the moment in that depth of the self that you are. Just however you picture that or think about that or see that or visualize that within yourself, go right to the center of you and just imagine there the real you. And the real you being, of course, that innermost resource. I used a term a little earlier, like a vault, it's like the bank vault where the real valuable facets of yourself are, where the real wisdom of you lives in big $100,000 bills inside that vault. And so as you look in there and just open yourself to, wow, what is in this moment the biggest truth about me, and just sort of let that come up into your conscious awareness or into your feeling or into your intuition or whatever is your own inner language, I think what you'll find is that when we go right there, right to that place of the purest truth within ourselves, yet we tend to bypass all sorts of other answers that we get when we just look in other places. And we tend to get the purest, clearest, most uncluttered response to whatever's there in this particular moment. So what I mean about that statement about all of us having within ourselves every resource, every treasure, every answer, everything that we need for our life, is that if we can have regular access to that place. Or better yet, if we can live there, I mean, if we can have the center of our life being right there in that place of the deepest, purest truth, then no matter what is on our plate, it really doesn't matter whether whatever disaster, quote-unquote, hits us, whatever illness comes our way, whatever losing of a job is there, and I'm just picking out versions that of examples that most of us would say, well, gee, these aren't very fun kinds of things. No matter what it is, we can find, the number one, the reason that it's there. Number two, we can find the invitation that as we walk in and through whatever that ingredient in our life is calling us. And number three, we can have the deepest sense of what's really happening in us as we walk through that. And I say that because, as we all know, nothing happens by accident, and everything happens for some kind of meaning. And my sense of it is, it's not just a meaning as in, a definition or description of this is why it's happening. It's not just the answer to the question why, but it's a meaning that's a walkthrough. Any event in our life is a rite of passage. It's a sacred ceremony. It's an invitation to move from one place where we've been hanging out in life to another place. And if we can find out what that invitation is and why we're doing what we're doing and what it's all about, then we've got the spirit of it. We've got the meaning of it. We've got the truth of it. And we can join that. And actually, and I, again, don't mean this glibly, and I don't mean it disrespectfully to the pain that anybody goes through, we can walk through it with not just the biggest meaning, but even with some semblance of joy, simply because we feel like we've got the truth of the moment.
You know, Bill, I'm sure everyone on the line is going, that's for me. How does one go about accessing one's beautiful divine nature and unique purpose? How would you what would you say?
Yeah, well, you know, Janet, the first thing I would do is make a disclaimer. and what I mean by that is that again, we're all so different. I don't think there's a way really fits everyone. In fact, years back I came to this conclusion, and it's really not a scientifically provable conclusion at all. It's just a little homespun philosophy kind of conclusion that we can take any one path or any one version of truth or any one answer to a particular whatever, and that path or version or answer probably fits maybe one third of people, and then there is another third of people on the other end of the spectrum for whom it doesn't fit at all, and then there's another third in the middle where parts of it fit and parts of it don't. So I just want to acknowledge the individuality of each of us, the uniqueness of each of us, by saying that you know, one person's poison is another person's meat or something like that. Although I should never use that if I'm talking to
one person's poison is another man's nectar. Right?
Nectar, beautiful. Thank you. Oh, I like that. That's really good. Thank you, Chris. Beautiful. I'm going to remember that one. Okay. So there's the just the little sort of extra version of truth at the beginning to introduce this. But how do we access that? I think if I speak in generalities, then again, I'll let each one of us just individualize that for yourself. I think the first thing we do is we invite ourselves there. We just, you know, we acknowledge that, hey, there is a center to me. There is a place of inner sanctum, of pure truth. There's a wise sage in me. There's an inner wizard who really knows what's best for me, and I'm going for it. So number one, acknowledge it. Number two, say, you know what? I'm going to keep inviting myself there. Now, in terms of the how-to of inviting ourselves there, that's where the answer, I think, gets a little individual. Some people invite themselves there by saying, oh, I'm going to meditate every day, or once a day, or twice a day, or whatever again is the truth of them. And then what some other people do, they can go more to sort of a prayer kind of a theme. Other people will do more inspirational reading. Some people just spend very quiet time with themselves, and they develop a relationship, for example, with that inner sanctuary or temple, or that wise self, and then they just have like an inner dialogue with that aspect of themselves. And we could go on and on. There are thousands of ways to do that. Some people I know, they have a manual or a diary, and they write down conversations, or they just let themselves do some almost automatic writing where the words just flow, at where it just allows that inner self and the wisdom that's there to speak. So again, there are thousands of ways to do it. But once we decide and say, all right, I'm going for that, I'm going to hang out there, then we listen for, oh, how does that truth within me want me? How is it inviting me to hang out with it? Again, for a lot of people I talk to, it's daily meditation. For others, it's not. Now, again, even there are different forms of meditation. Some are more Eastern-like, where you just sort of let go and let God and sort of let yourself sink into or be taken over by that inner space. Others are more Western, where it's a little more focused, where perhaps we visualize that inner self and we open ourselves to more tangible ways of connecting to that. But again, one is neither better nor less effective than the other. It just happens to be, what's the truth of me for this particular moment? And in that, I find a lot of people who will maybe go a year or two or just even a month or two doing one particular style of connecting to themselves, and then it's time for another approach. And so being open to making that kind of shift, I think, is also important. So just one more thing, one more approach to that. First acknowledging, second saying, yes, I'm going for that. I'm going to live in that inner space, and then finding out what. I think a next approach to that is something like this, that as I'm connecting, I keep asking myself the question, who am I? And I say that because I feel like while certainly over years, the answer to that question will shift and change. It'll have many nuances. Asking ourselves that question, who am I, really keeps calling us to the core of this thing that we call identity, the core of who we are, what we're about, why we're living, what our purpose in life is. Because if we can keep going to that core question, who am I, then the answer to that at that particular moment will drive all the other decisions that we make in life, and we can just save ourselves an enormous amount of hassle just by staying as clear as possible about and living in the middle of the truth of who I am.
Well, you know, you said something just now very, very profound that, this keeps us calling to the core of our identity. And you said just now, this answer, who am I, the answer to that will drive all of the other decisions. Can you expound on that? What do you mean by that?
What I mostly mean, Janet, is that let me back up a little bit. It's my deep, deep sense that if we look at ourselves as a presence in this three-dimensional world of ours, we can play lots of different roles, we can have lots of different functions, we can have this purpose in life, that meaning in life, and all of those are meaningful. But if we can call ourselves to know at the core of us who we mostly are, what is this self that I am? What do I embody? In religions, they talk about us in the Jewish scriptures being made in the image and likeness of God. And to the degree that we would like own or accept that assumption that we're created in the image and likeness of the divine, then we can ask ourselves, okay, what facet of the divine am I? Like, for example, Janet, knowing you as I do, I think you're absolutely an embodiment of love, of the love quality of the divine. And so somebody else might be an embodiment of the power of the divine, somebody who's really here to take charge of oneself, to take charge of one's destiny, to take the power of the divine and live in the middle of that power, and therefore, because of living in the middle of it, use it in the strongest, clearest, positive, most purposeful way possible. And somebody else might be an embodiment of what we tend to call the divine feminine or the feminine spirit. I happen to be privileged to be married to a woman who, as I see her and as she sees herself, is the embodiment of exactly that. Just the pure feminine spirit just expressed as her. And besides my being honored to live with her, I get to experience the beauty of that. So therefore, just to use her as an example, the more that Donna, my life mate, the more that she really is clear about who she is, then the more that just expresses clearly without clutter, and the more all of us around her benefit from that. Myself, at this moment in my life, what I embody most is just the essence of the divine. And so the more I just am that essence, the essence not in terms of adjectives and descriptions and expressions, but just the pure, pure, pure essence, the more I know that I'm that and live in that, then I am that centeredness and I am that inner peace. And then the more other people benefit just because I'm not playing around trying to be other things that I'm not. And just in deference to lots of people who are on the line here, I think some other people, and I think many of you who are listening probably are very much expressions of the light of the divine. So we've got love, we've got power, we've got feminine spirit, we've got creativity, which I've not even talked about. Some of us are absolute embodiments of the creative juice of the divine. So we're here always creating this, creating that. And then, again, as I just said, embodiment of the light, where light oftentimes is translated as truth and wisdom and clarity. So one of the reasons that, for example, we're driven to find truth in our lives and the truth about ourselves is because we are the embodiment of that light. So put all that together, the more that each one of us can just go to that place of, who am I really? What am I? What is the purest, clearest definition or expression of who I am created to be? What is that master plan of the self? In other words, if I put myself in the place of the divine and say, okay, I, the divine, am about to create this person called, and then put your name there, what do I really want to express in this human world or in this earthly land? What do I really want to express by creating this human being? And then, again, if you listen for that at that place of soul, at that place of truth, at that place of heart, and get really clear about that, then that can give you all sorts of clarity about how to live your life. In other words, for me, just to use me as an example, though many of us are not called to live out being that essence of God. But if I just use me as an example, if I really, really am the essence of the divine, then it becomes clear to me that, you know, I'm not about playing this kind of game or, you know, serving that kind of role. I'm about really being that center of truth that is the divine in relation to everybody and everything. And so, for example, for me, one of the things that totally drives me in life is to live in the truth. So no matter who I'm talking to, I automatically just connect to the truth of who that person is. And so in that way, I open up for myself the capacity to feel that person's soul, to listen for that person's wisdom, to become one, absolutely unified with that person's inner sage, inner knowing, and then to, whenever it's appropriate, speak that to the person, and when it's not appropriate, not to, but just to live in that truth. And so I think a lot of people really get when they're around me that, oh, there's this is a sacred space of truth, and not only is Bill honoring my truth, but gee, I get to honor my truth. And so that's just an example of how my knowing who I am can really express and be helpful to someone else. I think we all know that when we're really living the truth of who we are, how life just seems to work for us better. It just seems to flow, and all of life seems to come around and support us so much more. And when we're not living that truth, when we're hanging out in other spaces and pretending that we're something else, or when we're trying this or trying that, and it's really not an expression of our deepest self, then life doesn't always support that quite as much. So,
now, Bill,
yeah, go ahead.
If I may, just on that note, there are many people who are attracted to spirituality, attracted to this understanding of the inner life and understanding their own inner nature and their own inner truth. And yet often it appears that those people sometimes are lost when it comes to dealing in the material world, dealing in the practical day-to-day functions of life. And I wonder if you could speak to what's necessary and how one goes about not only being connected to that inner life, but being able to have it show up in the practical aspects of their life, like their finances and their daily work and how they are interacting and being with others.
I'd be delighted, Chris. You know what I appreciate about your question is there's no simple answer to that, and like a couple other questions, I want to express too that the answer to that is very, very individual and unique to each person. But one of the things that I feel moved, at least in this moment, to say is that some people are really here to be financially quite abundant, and some people, in terms of their purpose in life, are here for lots of other reasons, financial abundance not necessarily being one of them. So one of the key questions that I think it's important for each of us to be clear about is the question of what am I called to from a practical, pragmatic, making money, being prosperous point of view in life, and that to me again usually is a question that needs to come after that initial question of who am I. So if we can be really clear about who we are, then from there we can say, okay, now this is who I am. Now what am I here for in life? How am I here to express that? And I know for me, for example, it just has always been very, very important for me to be very responsive, responsible, in life, to show up to life. In other words, I've not had the seeming luxury, and I say seeming because I'm not sure it is a luxury. I've not had the seeming luxury of for the most part, just kicking back and letting life do whatever it wants to do around me. Certainly, there is that aspect, but for me, I've always been called to show up, to be present to everything on my plate, and to be very, very present to other people, and to be present to the whole money-making theme. A really humorous kind of thing is, for some time, making money was really not important to me, but just about the time that my son got born, and that was 32 years ago, just about the time he got born, all of a sudden, it's like I felt his soul saying to me, okay, I'm here now, and I'm here to really have a good time in life, and I'm here to enjoy the benefits of life. So it's time for you to start making more money than you've been making. And it was really quite a bit of a shock to me. But sure enough, I found just within a few months, I changed jobs. I was making more money, and I was, of course, was spending most of it on him. And I thought, well, isn't this just a fascinating kind of a thing that you know, that a circumstance in life shifts for me, and then all of a sudden money becomes much more important than it did before.
Absolutely. Now, one of the things you've said, Bill, is that we will become as empowered, loving, and masterful as we choose. And yet I think many people would agree that it appears at times that things happen in our life over which we don't seem to have much choice. So how is it that you can say that we can become as masterful or as empowered as we choose? What do you mean by that?
Well, let me hang out with what I mean by masterful. As you know, I do a few different mentoring groups with people, and one of them is a mentoring group in what I call human and spiritual mastery. And just to use that as an introduction to answering your question, so what I'm doing is really helping as many people who are called to that experience to really look at being absolutely masterful in relation to their human life, all aspects of their humanness, their energy, their emotions, their mind, their subconscious mind, their unconscious mind, their behavior, their life, their everything. And become as much as is their calling spiritual masters. That is really masterful in relation to their spirit. And I think we tend to carry around an assumption that mastery means having everything under our control. I'm sure in the biggest possible definition of what that means, that's true. But in the way that most of us mean that word control, it's really not true, because there are all sorts of ways that not only we are living our lives, but life is living us as well. And in the bigger picture, we're not just the individual that we are. We are also united. We're all one. And so there's a whole unified field or unified world of experience and of life that we all live together, where decisions are made about what's good for each of us that are not necessarily a part of our individual decision making. Or to say it another way, our unified self will make decisions for us that may be different than the decisions that our individual self will make for us. And so, therefore, being masterful oftentimes is not a matter of saying, all right, I want my life to be this way, this way, and this way. That works up to a point. But when life puts other things on our plate, when the life deals us a set of cards that look different or at least appear different from what our individual self is deciding would be good for us, then a way to be masterful is to say, all right, this is on my plate. How can I call myself to be masterfully present to what this is? And again, one of the ways to do that would be to go, again, right back to that level of soul, right to that center of our being, and say, oh, okay, let's assume that there's some wisdom that put this circumstance right in front of me, some wisdom that just pulled me right into this particular situation, this particular issue, this particular illness, or whatever it may be, and really go with the fuller meaning, the fuller picture, get in touch with the level at which that decision was made, and then call myself to be masterful in the sense of, okay, this is here. For example, one expression of mastery would be to say, okay, instead of fighting this, I'm going to accept this. I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to go with this. And if anybody ever wants to visit my my website, there is a little article I recently wrote in there about myself and about how I basically spent a lot of years in my life fighting my destiny, fighting my mission, and finally just gave it up. And I think what I was trying to do was I was trying to say, ooh, I don't know about being this spiritual master and this spiritual teacher. I don't really want to do that. I just want to be an ordinary guy. See, that's why when Janet said earlier that, gee, I look like this ordinary guy, it just, you know, it just thrilled me. So,
now, Bill, before you go on, I wanted to let people know how they can go to your website.
Oh, okay.
Your website is Bill, B-I-L-L, Bauman, B-A-U-M-A-N, .net. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And if they wanted to read that article, how would they find that?
Oh, let me see. I think it's there are a number of little tabs there. I think the first tab says something like testimonials, and then I think it says article. You just tap on the little article tab, and that'll get you there.
Could you talk a little bit about what you do in these mastery groups that you were you mentioned?
Yeah, I'd be delighted. What I do is I basically center them first and foremost around the theme that we all just are. In other words, if we go to the deepest truth of us and start there, we hang out at that place of the soul. We hang out at that place where all life just is. And throughout the whole experience, and it's a year-long experience where people come together for 5 3-day weekends throughout the year, but throughout the whole experience, we keep coming back to that basic theme, and we connect to that place of isness, that place of the undefinable truth of us, where the ultimate power of creation is. And so there is power in the mind, there's power in behaving, there's power in energy, there's power in light, but there is the biggest, strongest power in just being. And so what we do is we call ourselves to live strongly in that place of being, isness, essence, where everything just is, and then we let the power of that just guide the whole rest of the experience. These are extremely powerful, powerful experiences. Then from there, we spend the year exploring these different worlds in the human experience. One, the world of light, and light is a bit intangible to most people, but to me it's a very, very clear phenomenon. This is an age of light that we're in, and we do laser surgery with light. So I try to take spiritually and humanly the power that there is, the power to create with light, and we become as masterful as we can become with that. Then I help us visit the world of energy, the world of the chakras, and the world of the aura, and the world of our interconnection, and the world of love being an energy, power being an energy. We look at how to be masterful in relation to our whole energy field and all the specific aspects of energy. Then I move into the mind, the conscious, the subconscious, the unconscious, and the superconscious mind, all those levels at which we know. And then we all invite ourselves to be masterful there also, and then in the world of external expression. But again, all of it is centered around what, and I'm going to introduce a new word here, what we tend to call grace. And that is that on the one hand, mastery is all about our taking charge. On the other hand, it's all about grace. And so grace is that expression of the divine that comes out of, again, that place of essence and isness. It's the most powerful force on the planet, and so we invite that to help all of us attain our own healing, our own transformation, and especially our own mastery in relation to every facet of the human and spiritual self.
Now, Bill, what I'm hearing is this theme, this connected theme that started with your own journey, where I see you as a little kid stamping your foot and going, how can everyone else get to have a teacher? And then, you know, you started asking yourself, it forced you to look inside and ask, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
And what I hear in this theme, starting with three questions or the three things that you said that we invite ourselves to do, is, you know, acknowledge it, say I'm going to keep inviting myself there, and
mm-hmm.
ask myself, who am I? What I keep hearing is what you're doing with all of your individuals and groups of people is inviting them to know that they are the master of their own creation, and that all of the answers lies within, and all you have to do is ask. Is that correct?
That is correct, and I don't want it to sound oversimplified, but absolutely what you're saying is absolutely right on, and yet again it's up to each of us to do that in a way that is deeply connected to that source within each one of us.
So what is required for a person to integrate the spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical material aspects of their life with all of this? And, you know, how does that happen?
Well, I think it's different for each one of us, Janet, but if I could make a generalization about it, to me what it takes is, I'm going to use two words, honesty and integrity, and I mean those two words as two sides of the same coin. And to say that another way, what it takes is just each moment of each day just being willing to show up with honesty, with integrity, with genuineness to oneself, to what's on one's plate, and just honestly do one's best. In other words, oh, this is here right now, just in the purest way I can pull off right now. What's the most integrity-based way I can show up to it, ask the questions I feel are important to ask, listen for the answers, take what's there, and do my honest, genuine best with what it is. And I know that could sound simplistic, but I really feel like that's what we've got in the human scene. In other words, I think, you know, we've got a lot of values that we call ourselves to. We've got a lot of standards that we judge ourselves by, and a lot of those are, especially in our, you know, North American society, we pretty much call ourselves to be, you know, high performers 24/7, and that's fairly unrealistic, I think. So when I'm saying, ooh, just show up with honesty and integrity, I feel like that's all we can really call ourselves to do with. Then add to that another blend. So I'm stirring the soup here. So I've just put in the main ingredients, honesty, integrity. Now I'm going to add, you know, some spices with the extra spice of self-love. And by self-love, what I mean is, okay, I'm going to quit judging myself. I'm going to quit evaluating myself from some place of high standard. And I'm just going to love and honor myself doing the best I can, and in that loving and honoring myself, find that unconditional love, that embrace of who I am that says, hey, you know, this is the best I can do right now. Maybe tomorrow I'll do better, maybe I won't, but right now this is who I am as far as I know it. This is how I'm showing up to myself and to what's on my plate, and so this is how I'm going to approach what's here. I know for me in my life, that's been the path. A lot of people I talk to have goals, like they want to become enlightened, or they want to become free, or they want to become fulfilled or prosperous or whatever it may be. Actually, I never did any of that. I just kept showing up to what was on my plate and saying yes. I had no clue what I was looking for. In fact, you know, enlightenment was probably the last thing I ever thought I wanted. But I feel like that model has a lot of value to it. The model of just saying, okay, let me just show up in the most honest, integrity-based way I can, love myself through whatever it is, and in that, just open to, and then this would be the last ingredient in the soup, open to the grace, the love of the divine, and keep asking for more and more grace, more and more love, more and more blessing. 'Cause interestingly, I've found that for most of us, we oftentimes get what we ask, and we don't bother asking. We're so wrapped up in doing what we can do, and that's, of course, wonderful, but there's a lot of miracle. There's a lot of grace. There's a lot of divine intervention that if we're open to it, if we ask for it, if we, even better yet, if we expect it, it's there, and it just keeps coming and coming and coming. So that is a... it's something we often acknowledge, but oftentimes don't really go with. So, if I had that extra little bit of something to invite each of us to, it would be, oh, why don't we try just every day asking for more blessing, more grace, more than what we've got, and not from a place of selfishness in the way we usually mean that word, but just from a place of self-deservingness. It's like, hey, we're created in this image and likeness of the divine, and maybe it's our birthright to be filled every day with the beauty of that divine, and it'll come to us if we ask for it.
I tell you, it's always it's so deeply, deeply profound, and I'm sitting here, even as you're talking, asking for that more and more. And knowing that that's my birthright, and thank you for that remembering. You know, it's just, I love that. That's what I always get when I'm around you, is those deep rememberings, just to go inside, just to ask. How do people, you know, we asked about your website, but I want you to mention it again. I know there are so many people that would like to find out more about your seminars, your retreats, and your spiritual journey, so they can have fun like I just did with you in France. How would they go about getting that information, and how can our listeners and readers stay in touch with you?
The website is www.billbauman.net, and that's B-I-L-L-B-A-U-M-A-N. And it's .net as opposed to .com, because by the time I got around to getting the website, .com was already taken. So please do the .net, because we don't want to disturb the other Bill Bauman. It was really cute. I did a few emails back and forth, and it's really strange emailing somebody with your same name. It's really a wonderful feeling. But so anyway, it's my website. It's got pretty much everything on it. I do a lot of things. I do these mentoring groups. I do seminars around the country and in some places in Europe, England, and France, and I'll be doing a little more internationally. But I do at least one a month somewhere around the country on a weekend. And as you say, I do once a year. I do about a 2-week sacred sites journey, picking a particular spiritual tradition. Like next year, it's the tradition of Buddhism, and we're going to go to Thailand and Burma for that, probably in the fall. And then I do a retreat the first weekend in December in Zion National Park in Utah. And so all those things, and a few other things, are on there also. But all those are on the website. And also I want to mention that one of my intentions on that website is for each person who visits it to feel blessed, because what I'm all about in life is I'm just about being whatever embodiment of the divine that I am. and a vehicle through which the divine just really, really wants to love people, bless people, and invite people to the purest truth in ways that are less cluttered, in ways that are less painful, and in ways that really just let their own pure nature, true nature, take over and run their lives. So if the website is that for any of you, I will just absolutely rejoice. To your question, how to stay in touch with me, most things are on that website, so you can visit it from time to time. I am absolutely blessed to have just a wonderful, wonderful woman who is a project manager for me, Eleanor Hall, and the information to connect with her is on there. Unfortunately, I'm so busy that I don't let myself have too much direct connection with people. I used to do individual sessions with people on the phone. I don't do that anymore just because my calling is more to be with bigger groups of people these days. Then soon I will have a book out and some DVDs, CDs, videos, etc., that will be on the website, but those are probably a couple months away in terms of getting them ready. So people can connect with me by having those products there. I'm just finishing, and it'll be ready for publication within probably a month, month and a half, a wonderful little book on the Wizard of Oz, where I basically interpret the Wizard of Oz as a real metaphor for our human living. And I'm calling it Oz Power, so living with Oz Power. And I just follow Dorothy through her journey in Oz and then relate it to all the developmental stages of our life, our birth, our childhood, our schooling, our adolescence, our adulthood, et cetera. And it's going to be just a precious and a pretty powerful book in terms of how to take charge of our lives. So that will be on there a couple months from now, too.
Thanks, Bill. And to all of you, you know, I'm sure you've gotten a really true essence of what Bill is like, but I'll tell you, there is nothing, and I mean nothing, like sitting in a room with Bill Bauman and, you know, having fun while you're being transformed. So truly, if you have a weekend free or an opportunity to attend his Sacred Sites journey, the next one in Thailand and Burma, then I can't say strongly enough what a blast you are going to have on your way to the unfoldment of you. So, Bill, at Healthy Wealthy and Wise, we so strongly believe in the intention to manifest outcomes, and that's what you seem to do, but we'd like to even add to that. What would you say, now I hear you say your most current project is your book, Living with the Power of Oz. That's one of the things, but I'm not quite sure what intention you would like us at Healthy Wealthy and Wise, as well as our readers, to hold for the fulfillment of what you're presently would like us to have an intention for. Can you tell us?
Oh, how sweet.
We can really put our attention there?
Yeah, that would be wonderful. I would just love to have people's attention and intention joined with me around this. I feel really, really called, and I don't know how this comes across to any of you, but I feel really called to unify with every human being on the planet, past, present, and future, and somehow in a way that's not constricted by time, to just be a vehicle to touch each person with infinite love and empowerment and light and blessing. I feel like at this point in my life, the reason I'm on this planet, and I do it through lots of external things, but the deep internal project is to just bless every human being, to bless every life form, to bless every rock and piece of dirt on the planet, to just let what is light and what is love and what is the creative power of the infinite live in every cell of every human being and live in every corpuscle of our circulatory system and every thought of our mind, just that if we could all have that intention, that every human being who ever has or will live or does live on this planet is just that much more touched, so that each person feels her or his specialness, and each person experiences his or her uniqueness. Each person knows her or his loveliness, and therefore is just able to celebrate life a little bit more. I feel like that's what I'm here for, and if I may have the privilege of extending that, I feel like maybe that's what all of us who are a part of this conversation are here for. So maybe we could all just join together with that intention, because I deeply believe that what we intend has life. And just even this intention right now, as we've all joined it, that creates a spark. It creates an energy. It creates a vitality. It comes to life in certain ways. And then it can keep coming into life more and more. But so I thank you, Janet, for asking the question. And I really thank all of you for joining with me. And what to me is the sacred mission that we all have, every one of us, both in our unity and in our individuality. And that is to contribute in some just deep, heart-centered way to the betterment and the blessing quality of every human being on this planet.
Bill, could
you? Well, thank you, Bill, for letting us be part of that beautiful intention. And I know we were all holding it as you were speaking, so thank you. Chris,
I just wanted to ask, Bill, if you could, what's the single most important idea that you would leave our listeners with tonight that maybe we haven't discussed or touched on, or one that we have that you'd just like to underline again?
That's a great question, Chris. Here's what comes to me, and it's this, that if you could just spend whatever time or focus you feel called to opening to your beauty, opening to just the exquisite design of who you are, the magnificent quality of the creation that you are. I feel like when a baby is born, we all just ooh and ah, and we say, oh, what a miracle and how wonderful. And yet what's clear to me is that that's the truth of all of us every minute of our lives, and we just forget to notice the miracle. So I feel like each and every one of you, each and every one of us is a miracle, not just in the making, but ideally in the experiencing. And so the thought I'd love to leave with every one of us is, wow, what an extraordinary, beautiful, radiant expression of life that you are. And if I have an implication that I'm inferring in that, the implication is, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if each and every one of us could just for the next day, just 800 times all through tomorrow, just call ourselves to know the truth of our beauty and of our wonder and of our splendor, and just walk in that and live in that, and let that speak and let that express, and let that deepest truth of us be a celebration. And so my request beyond the implication is, wow, please notice the splendor of who you are and celebrate it as much as you can give yourself permission to do that. And just in that celebrating, that in itself is healing. That in and of itself is a blessing to everybody around you. That in and of itself is an empowerment and a mastery. And so that would just thrill my heart no end if all of us did that.
Done. So done, Bill. Thank you. You're just...
Exclamation.
I tell you, I'm sitting here in Tier of Anomaly, India, feeling like I'm in the same room with you. So thank you for having just... bringing all of your knowledge and your love and your light and your wisdom, everything, to all of us at Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. And to for me here in Tier of Anomaly, India, what a perfect way to start my day with this with the divine blessing of Bill Bauman. Thank you
for
joining us
so
today. I just truly thank you.
Yeah.
And Chris, would you, before we say goodbye to everyone, we have a wonderful gift, don't we, for people, how they can get a gift certificate for their friends for Christmas? Or
well, they can, and I'll just mention that the Bill has been kind enough to give a gift to those who have registered and listened to this call. And again, you will have received or will receive an email so that you can get that, an excerpt from his upcoming book. And Bill, I also, along with Janet, want to thank you for coming back to that core of the reminding that each one of us is unique, each of us is special, each of us represents a treasure that's walking on this earth, and that you certainly reflect that, express that, and in doing that, remind each of us of the value of that. And really, that's the whole purpose, the reason that Janet and I, along with our great editors and publishers, Liz and Rick Thompson of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, created the Passion Series to begin with, is to help every one of us, all of our listeners, all of our readers, to be able to connect with people like you, Bill, who have realized success in their own lives, in being able to express your own truth, your own way of exploding or expanding or expressing into the world the incredible gift that life is, and that by doing that, allowing every one of us to be able to pick up. And what I notice in these calls is that every single one of our guests, and Bill, you're no exception, that every single one of our guests expresses in a different way and yet this same theme, that when we connect with ourselves most deeply, then we are able to express in our lives that special, unique gift or gifts that we have to give to the world. And when we do that, we not only increase our own joy, our own fulfillment, our own happiness in life, but the joy, happiness, and fulfillment of everyone around us at the same time. And again, I'll just remind our listeners that those of you that would like to have a recording and be able to review the transcript of this call, as well as our call on December 7th with Dr. John Gray, the author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, as well as the recording and transcript of our call with Neil Donald Walsh, the author of Conversations with God in January, as well as access to the calls that we've done with people like Jay Abraham and the Marketing Genius and Rabbi Yehuda Berg of the Kabbalah Center and Richard Paul Evans, the author of The Christmas Box, and Dr. John Hagland, the quantum physicist, who is expressing a whole nother aspect of life. All of these and many more over the coming year are available to you just by becoming an elite member of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise Passion Series. And you can do that again by going to www.healthywealthy.com and click on step number 4. Now, if you would like to give this Passion Series, what Janet was mentioning, if you'd like to give this Passion Series to someone that is dear and precious to you during this holiday season, then you can do that. We will prepare a very special gift certificate, and you can give them a one-year subscription to the Passion Series so that they can listen and enjoy and own each one of these calls themselves. And you can do that by going to healthywealthyandwise.com, healthywealthy.com/gift.asp, gift, G-I-F-T, dot A as in Apple, S as in Sam, P as in Paul. And so, Janet, would you like to say goodnight?
Before I do, did I miss something? Because I would love you to repeat Bill's gift.
Sure. Bill is made available to all of us an excerpt from his upcoming book. Bill, what was the title of the book again?
The title of the book is Oz Power.
Oz Power. Oz Power. So the magical wizard of Oz Power.
That's right. And the subtitle is How to Click Your Heels and Take Total Charge of Your Life.
Ah, wonderful. And so
every
one of our listeners,
website?
Janet, will be receiving an email which will have a link that they can download and get access to that excerpt.
Okay, great, because I didn't want to miss out, and I don't want anyone else to miss out. So thank you so much. And Bill, again and again and again, thank you for being with us today. And all of the listeners this evening, I want to say this morning, just have a wonderful, glorious day. Don't forget to drop in, as Bill said, and create those intentions, number one being, who am I? So again, thank you so much for being with us, and we just look forward to being with you again. Our next call, again, is December 7th with Dr. John Gray, Men Are From Mars, Women. Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus. And we look forward to being with you, and have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good
night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night,
Bill.
What's that?
Sydney, Australia.
That's all this.
Stop.
Hello?
Thanks.
Is Paris burning?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Australia.
Hey.
Let Bill know that Australia is also called Oz.
Did you hear about that? Got
it all on tape in case you want to listen to it.
Yeah, sure.
Get to a phone. Simpler is the last resort to just tape it and then give it to you.
Send it to me, email. Send it to me, voicemail. The pigeon weeps. The pigeon flies. The pigeon weeps. The pigeon flies.
My name.
Come
here. Some snake.